Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone this morning. Happy Mother's Day, moms. Woo! Can I have one of those? Anything? Let's hear it for the moms. Can we do something? Amen. You know, I was thinking about the love of God this morning. And God's love is perfect, right? Amen?
Yes.
And boy, a mother's love just right there, pretty close. And it reminded me of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. I think about my mom when I read this. Love does not brag and it's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Isn't that good news, church?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you that your love never fails. I thank you that it's an endless supply. How it washes over us. How it changes us. How it renews us. And Lord, I just thank you for your love, the way it's expressed through moms. So, Father, as we worship you this morning, as families get together and do what they're going to do this afternoon, I pray that every mom in the building feels special. Every mom worshiping online, I pray that they feel special as well. So, Father, just have your way in our hearts this day. And we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I do want to welcome the live stream audience. God bless you. I pray you feel his presence this morning as you worship with us. If you're able, let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Friday, my voice was still there. Saturday morning during mid-shot put, one of my guys was sitting six on his last throw. He moved into first place, and bam, my voice was gone after that. However, this is much better than last year. I wouldn't even been able to squawk at y'all through here. So at least I'm getting better. At least I'm growing. But what I want to do this morning is I want to teach a a little bit about worship. It is not about anything we do externally. And so even though I don't have a voice to be able to sing this morning, my heart is still reaching out to the living God through His Holy Spirit. And when we worship, it's not about how we sound, what we sing, necessarily what we do with our hands, but it's about what our heart is doing, and that we want to reach out to God with the fullness of our heart, with the fullness of our being, and allow His Holy Spirit to fill us up, and that we could be in the presence of the living God. And so this morning, I encourage you, maybe your voice is like mine. There's another track coach in here. And so maybe you can't sing. Maybe you don't think you're a good singer. Okay? And that's okay. You don't have to be to worship. So this morning, I invite you to seek out the living God. Invite Him into your heart. Just ask Him to show you how to worship. And He'll answer that prayer. And everything that we do is to bring glory to God. Children, come on forward for your children's message, and you may be seated.
How are y'all? Everybody good? Oh, I'm getting all tangled up here. All right. It's good to see everybody. Got some more coming up here. Hello.
I'm right here.
Oh, you're right here. Thank you for being right here, Ollie. All right. Well, y'all excited about today?
Yes. Today's Mother's Day.
Oh, very good. That was my first question I was going to ask you. What is today? It's Mother's Day. That's right. Well, Mother's Day is a special day that we honor our mothers and grandmothers, aunts, and special friends, right? Your moms. And we tell them that we love them and how wonderful and special they are, right? Yeah. Have you told your mom or grandmother or aunt or somebody special that you love them and that they're that they're special and wonderful? Yes? Yes? Can y'all say Happy Mother's Day real quick to everybody?
Mother's Day.
All right. Well, in the Bible, do you know that in the Bible, in God's Word, it tells us about some mothers? Yeah. So does anybody know one of the mothers in the Bible? Yes, Hunter. Mary. Who was Mary?
Jesus and God.
Jesus' mom. What did she do? Did she take care of Jesus when he was a baby? Yeah. She was a pretty good mom, wasn't she?
Yeah.
How about the first mom? Do you know who the first mom was?
No.
Eve. That's right, because God created Adam and Eve. So Eve was the very first mom. She lived in the garden, and she had two sons. She took care of the animals. She took care of the garden. She took care of her son. She worked really hard, didn't she? Yeah. So do you know that there's a mom named Hannah in the Bible? Hannah? Mm-hmm. Hannah, she prayed for a son. And God gave her a son, and she named him Samuel. Samuel grew up to be a great leader. God used Samuel. And then how about Moses? Did Moses have a mother?
Yes.
Yes. What did Moses' mother do for him? Do you know? She put him in a basket when he was a baby, and she hid him in the river because the king was not very kind, was he?
No,
so she wanted to protect Moses. And God used Moses to lead the people out of Egypt when he was a grown man. So God had a plan for Moses' mother, right? Yeah. And of course, we talked about Mary, Jesus' mom. And there's so many more mothers in the Bible that God tells us about. And I am so thankful that God tells us about moms and how special they are. So we're going to talk about our moms and grandmothers and aunts and special friends and how they love and care for us. So I've got some things in my sack to think of things that they may be doing to help us. So, okay, so I'm going to pull some things out. You can tell me how this would be, how your mom would help you with this. What does the puzzle do? What does your mom do with the puzzle? She helps you work the puzzle. That's right. You can. Okay. Oh, how about this? Cleaning. Okay. Do you help moms clean?
Yeah.
Okay. I clean the bathroom. You clean the bathroom? All right. Okay.
My mom's
a mom.
A what?
Read you a book.
That's right. She reads you books, doesn't she?
Yep.
Just a minute, Ollie. Just a minute.
You go to bed.
I know. Do what?
Your mom can read you books.
Cook. Okay, who's mom's cook? Is all your mom's cook? All right. Okay.
I cook for myself.
You cook for yourself. Okay. And then, how about... She helps you when you get hurt. That's right. So all these things reminds us of how much our moms love us, right? And then my last thing that I have in my bag is this. What is this?
A Bible.
A Bible. Does your mom read from the Bible to you? Maybe does she? Okay. Does she read you Bible stories from a Bible story book? No? Okay, moms, you better be reading.
My mom.
Okay, very good. Well, you know, even if your mom doesn't read from the Bible, read from you, but she's teaching you about God, isn't she? Who brought you to church today?
Mom,
that's right. Does she want you to know about God's love?
Yes,
that's right. So it's important. Moms love and care and take care of us and help us with all kinds of things, right? And so, you know, moms, grandmothers, aunts, and special friends do so many wonderful... It's my microphone. Do so many wonderful things for us that our list could go on and on and on. These are just a few things that moms do for us, isn't it? They do lots more. But the best things that moms do for us is they love us and they take care of us and they teach us about Jesus. Are you thankful for your mom? And your grandmother and your aunts and special friends? I am so thankful that God has given us moms and grandmothers and aunts and special friends to love and care for us. Are you thankful for them? Let me ask you again. Are you thankful? Yes. Are you thankful for your moms? Yes. All right. Well, God loves us so much that he gave us moms to care for us. Okay? Let's say a prayer. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for our moms, and we thank you for our grandmothers and our aunts and our special friends that help love and care for us and take care of us, Lord. We thank you that as we thank you for the families that are here today, and I thank you for these boys and girls, and just bless our time and just be with us and watch over us, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ollie, can you carry this for me?
Good morning, church. If you haven't met him yet, that is my son, Ollie. And if you are new to the church, it won't take long. You'll know him soon. We love him to death, but he is definitely one that does not mind being center of everything. Would you stand with me as we recite the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So, obviously, as we have already discussed today, it is Mother's Day. And so we want to take a moment and honor the mothers that are here. So if you are a mom, we're going to play a game real quick. And I'm going to play a different one, Billy, than the first service. Because I talked to Billy before the first service, and we were like, you know, why don't we change it up? Why don't we do, like, who traveled the longest distance to be here and the shortest distance? And so I asked, who traveled the longest to be here? Everybody sat down. I was like, all right. Woo, moving on. So we're going to try a different one that we normally do. And so, moms, please stand up so we can recognize you this morning. Okay, so we're going to start with a game, and we're going to see who has been a mom the longest. So I'm going to start, and as I pass your time, feel free to sit down, and we'll just keep going until someone sits down, okay? All right, what about a mom for 5 years? We'll start easy. All right, mom for 10 years. Mom for 15 years, 20, still quite a few, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. All right, we're going to start jumping by decades now. 60. Wow, okay. Anybody past 70? Nope, okay, so for the three that were standing, what do we have? 64. 63. 68, is that what you said?
Joyce.
62. All right, so 68 years of being a mom. Okay, and so the other one that we normally do, and I'm not going to make everybody stand for this, we're going to say if you've been a mom for less than a year, stand up. No? Less than 2 years? Really? 3 years? They're all like, I don't want to stand up now. Like, 4. Wow. Really? See, Billy, both backfired. Well, that means that we just have a bunch of experienced moms in the room. So, but as we, when Billy asked me a couple days ago to do the prayer time this morning, obviously we wanted it geared towards Mother's Day. And I was like, you know, what can we do, what can we say that would adequately represent mothers? And so I immediately jumped to scripture, and I just started looking through and trying to figure out what would adequately describe, and there's nothing better than just coming straight out of scripture. So I'm going to read a few that stuck out to me. Hopefully they stick out to you, and then after that we'll pray for all the mothers in the room. It's Proverbs 31:25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Proverbs 139:13. For you created me, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Proverbs 31:28-29. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Luke 1:46-48. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. And then finally, my personal favorite, Proverbs 6:20-22 says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart, fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. So, moms, I hope you feel blessed this morning, because I think if there's anything that scripture says is that a mother is truly blessed, because they have a tremendous challenge, and like Carleen said, y'all do so much, and Billy will go into more of that later, but y'all do so much for everyone around you, and so this is just our opportunity to say thank you and honor you. And normally we do some kind of gift as an honor to the moms, and so this year we chose as an honorarium to give a donation to the Pregnancy Resource Center. And so we are going to just give a donation in honor of you guys, and we very, very, very much appreciate all the moms in this room. Will you pray with me? Lord, on this day we honor mothers. May we love and cherish the special women who have borne us, who have nurtured us, and who have prayed for our well-being. May our hearts overflow with gratitude to you who formed and knitted each of us in a mother's womb. We pray you give moms strength. We pray you give moms discernment. We pray you give moms wisdom. And above all, as it seems like they need this as well, God, we pray that you give them peace. We pray that you give them patience. We ask that you be the daily bread of all the tired mothers, and may each mother find rest in you. We thank you for the promise and the privilege it is to be in this room celebrating the fact that, God, your love radiates out of mothers. We thank you for the fact that we have mothers to look at, to look forward to as a symbol of your love in this world. And God, I just pray that as we continue on, that we spend this day and spend all of our days honoring the sacrifices that mothers make. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your teaching. And God, we thank you for the instruction that you gave your disciples. We thank you for how they walked with you and how we can learn from their steps. And then we also thank you for how you taught them to do everything, including to pray. And we now pray the prayer that your disciples prayed. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we move into this next time of worship, the offering plates are on the kneeling rail. And you can come forward and give your tithes and offerings, or as it says on the screen, you can give an offering electronically by downloading our app or texting WileyUMC to that number. Stand up and worship with us if you can.
before we move on, I'm keenly aware that as we celebrate Mother's Day, that this may be a difficult day for some people. Maybe perhaps you've lost your mom recently, or maybe in the past, and maybe you didn't have a good relationship with your mother. Maybe you've lost a child, and so maybe this is a difficult day. We did this in the early service. It seemed to resonate with people. And so if that's you, I want to pray for you this morning before we go any further. So if this is a hard day for you, just if you feel comfortable, just slip your hand up and let your hand back down. Anybody at this, God bless you. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Even if you don't, God knows the need. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you, God, that in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of grief, Lord, you're there. And Lord, there's joy in the house this morning, but there's also sadness, and people are hurting for a number of reasons. Lord, would you do something supernatural in hearts this morning, to where when we walk out of this building, all of us are full of joy. In your presence, oh God, is fullness of joy. So would your presence show up in a strong and a tangible way where joy just breaks out in every heart in this room. Oh Father, minister to people in a way that only you can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor for that. And we love you for who you are. In Jesus' name. Well, good morning again. Wow, that was strong. Strong. I appreciate that. Man, I just bring a room to attention, right? So I need to work on that. Well, welcome again. If you're visiting with us this morning, God bless you. We're grateful you chose to worship at Wiley Methodist this morning. If you want to leave us a record of your visit, you can do that by taking a guest card in the chair pocket in front of you. You can leave that in your seat. You can bring that to the altar, put it in one of the offering plates, or I will meet you out by the main entrance after the service. Our pastor typically does that, but he's at home recovering from knee surgery. He plans on being back in 2 weeks. So we'll pray into that. We'll pray into that. Anyway, if you're visiting with us, God bless you. I pray you feel his presence as you worship. I want to remind you to register through your app if you want to do that. That really helps us for basically one reason. Well, we want to know you're here, but we want to make sure we're not missing people who are not here. By you registering, that tells us who is not able to come. And so if somebody's ill, they've been out for 6 weeks or 2 months, we want to know that. You know, we don't want them falling through the cracks, and we don't want people getting their feelings hurt because we didn't check on them, because we didn't know. So registering through the app really helps us to know the people that may be missing. I also want to remind you that we have a prayer team on Sunday mornings that's available. They'll have a prayer team tag on, and these are people that we trust. These are people you can trust, and if you have a prayer need, please feel free to approach them. There'll also be several of them at the front after the service. So if you need prayer after the service, please seek one of these gentlemen today. Seek them out. Well, once again, happy Mother's Day. I never thought I'd find myself preaching a Mother's Day sermon, but it worked out. It's not on my bucket list, but it happened anyway. I'm just telling you. Because I don't know if I know how to do this well, to be honest. I mean, I'm wired in such a way. I've got a Mother's Day sermon that may be a little unconventional, but I promise you, if you stick with me, when we get to the end, I think we'll all be okay. You know, Carlene and I have been married a few months shy of 43 years. Thank you. She is a blessed woman. I have to admit, she's a blessed woman. No, actually, that's not true. Yeah, see, y'all tell her, don't tell her I said that. Just like all men, I married up. I really did. And she is obviously the better half. And you know, I'm still a little green. I was really green when we started dating. I mean, I just had terrible life skills. I mean, I really did. Just simple things that I should have been able to do that I couldn't do. And so she's not only helped raise our children, she's helped raise me. It was kind of a package deal. And young wives, you're going to discover that someday. Your husband may do dumb stuff, but he may be doing the best he can. So you need to help him along the way, to be honest. You know, I really struggled with something younger. I'm a whole lot better at it today. I struggled with laundry when I was a younger man. Any man have laundry figured out? I mean, totally figured out. I mean, it should be so simple. You can tell a 5-year-old girl how to do laundry, and she's got it. I mean, you tell a 17 or 18-year-old boy how to do it, it's like he put kryptonite in the hand of Superman or something. It's just difficult. And so I moved out of the house. I was a single man in an apartment for several years before Carlene and I got married. And at some point, the reckoning day came, and I had to do laundry. I mean, it had been 6 weeks, 2 months. I don't remember. I had this stack of clothes, and I kept recycling them, and I couldn't stand myself anymore, so it was time to do laundry. And so there was a laundromat about 6 blocks from my apartment. And so I drive up, and I kind of knew the drill. I mean, you turn the machine on, water comes out, you put detergent in, you throw your clothes in, and shut the lid, and you're done. It should be pretty simple. And so I did that. I went back to my apartment, and the wash cycle was going to be 22 or 23 minutes. And I thought, well, I'll just come back, give myself a couple of minutes to spare because I don't want to tie up a machine. And this particular laundromat was busy. Every machine was in operation. And so I got back, and to be honest, I forgot which machine was mine because they all looked the same and they weren't numbered. But mine was easy to spot. Mine was the machine, I kid you not, had this dome of soap suds about this high on top of that washing machine. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe nobody noticed. Well, everybody noticed, you know, that this boy put too much laundry soap in the machine. And it was a mess. I like to never got the soap out of my clothes. It was horrible. So I took that laundry experience into our marriage, and Carlene wouldn't allow me around the washer and dryer for at least 2 years. And every once in a while, she would throw me a bone, and I would do laundry, and she would allow me to do my own clothes. And, you know, I worked for the fire service. I was on 24 and off 48, so I always worked on my days off, but I had a flexible schedule. And so she would work, and I'd wash my clothes. Well, one day I was washing my colored clothes, and she had this sweater she really liked, and it wasn't white. It was colored as well. I thought, I love my wife so much, I'm going to wash her sweater with my clothes. And so I went through the drill, put her sweater inside. The washing machine got through with its cycle. I raised the lid, and the sweater was still in there, but it wasn't in one piece anymore. It was like in 70,000 pieces, like a bomb went off inside that washing machine. To this day, I don't know what I did wrong, to be honest. Well, she pulled my laundry privileges from me for a while. And during that time, I realized, you know, most garments have tags in them, and they tell you how to launder those. If I read those, maybe I will have more success, and I did. I was a lot better at it. So one day, I was going to wash a pair of ski gloves that I had, and they weren't ski gloves any longer because we weren't going skiing, so they were gloves that helped keep my hands warm during the winter. But they were dirty, and I needed to wash them, so I thought, okay, my go-to method is to read the tag, which I did, and I don't remember everything it said. It's maybe the water temperature was cool, gentle agitation cycle, air dry, and then it said wash separately. So I said, okay, I'll read the tag. And so I read again, cool. You know, I've had the knob set on cool, gentle cycle. I know I don't need to put these in the dryer. And it said to wash them separately, which I thought was kind of odd, but that's what I did. I put in one load of clothes, dropped in one glove. And then I put in another clothes, dropped in another glove, and I washed them separately. And they came out spotless. Now, don't judge my method. Please don't judge my method. I mean, per instructions, was I wrong? No. A little naive, a little dumb maybe, but I wasn't wrong. And, you know, Carlene comes home, and sometimes us men, if we do something around the house, We want our wives to know. We swept the floor. It took us 17 seconds. But we want our wives to know what we did, right? And so I was so proud of myself. And she comes home. I got my chest stuck out and said, I washed my ski gloves today. Well, how did you do it? Because she didn't want to make sure I didn't mess things up. I said, well, I washed them separately. And I told her my method. And she starts laughing at me. And all of a sudden, this light bulb comes on. Ah, they wanted me to wash them together separately from everything else. And so, I don't know. My skill set in regard to life issues was limited and still is to some degree. And I think a lot of us men aren't willing to admit that. Our wives do, but we're not willing to admit that. You know, the point is that men and women are wired differently. We have different skill sets. We're wired differently. And the reason we're wired differently is because God created us differently. Now, He created us in His image. Now, I want to read some scripture, and then we'll talk through that. Let's go way back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. You also have a sermon note sheet. If you want to take notes, you can do that. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Listen, male and female, He created them. So God created man, male and female, He created them in His image. Now we're obviously different, right? We're obviously different. So for me, that means that we see part of the nature of God expressed through man, and we see part of the nature of God expressed through woman as well. Let's look at Genesis 2, 19 through 23. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. Adam had the privilege of naming the animals. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Out of all the animals, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made the woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. So God created them male and female. And he created Adam, then he created woman out of Adam, where he created a helper out of Adam, and Adam called her woman. And so, again, we see part of God's nature expressed through man, and we also see part of God's nature expressed through woman. And I believe, this is my thought, that fatherhood and motherhood are part of that expression. I mean, Adam and Eve didn't just decide, hey, I think I'll be Adam didn't say, I think I'll be a father. I don't think Eve said, hey, I think I'll just be a mom. I mean, God commanded them to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. So I think we see motherhood, stay with me here, motherhood as an expression of, I'm seeing fatherhood as an expression of the Lord, and motherhood as another expression of the Lord. Now, God is our Father. Jesus addressed Him as such. Jesus taught His disciples to pray to our Father who art in heaven. There's a number of scriptures that identify God as Father. I just Googled that. A few of them are Ephesians 4, 6, 1 Corinthians 8, 6, Deuteronomy 32, 6, Isaiah 64, 8. And if you Google that, you'll find about another 30, 40, or 50 where God is identified as Father. And I was talking to Marv this morning and about this, trying to wrap my head around this, because I don't know if God is genderless or not. I don't know if that makes sense. But Marv said His fatherhood is His role. I'm still trying to process that. Marv, you messed me up when you said that, by the way. But you know, God's our Father. And listen, God's not our mother. He's not identified as our mother. We don't pray to Mother God. We pray to Father God. But still, I believe motherhood is an expression of His nature, because, ladies, you're created in His image. Does that make sense? People kind of, are you tracking with me? That's good to know. That's good to know. I'd have to start over if you said no. So anyway, I want to look at a few scriptures maybe to support that, and still I'm trying to unpackage this as I say it, and stay with me because I'm going somewhere. So let's look at a couple of scriptures about maybe this expression of this nurturing, tender side of God through women, and let's look at the birth process. In Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering or brooding over the waters. Some translations say that He was moving over the waters. And I believe the old King James uses the word brooding here. Now there's two definitions of brooding. One is someone who's sulking, someone who's has a bad attitude. I don't think the Holy Spirit was sulking that day. I mean, that it's an expression of fullness of joy, the Holy Spirit is. I don't think He was having a bad day. So more than likely, this word brooding, which is actually a better word to plug in there in the original Hebrew, it means, and you probably know this, it means a mother hen, that a nest has been built, eggs have been laid, and she's just working the nest, whatever she does, waiting for the chicks to hatch, just waiting for life to erupt. And so God uses that same image, that same picture of the Holy Spirit brooding over the waters. And then God speaks, and then boom, light comes. Life begins to happen. In the book of Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy is a book that was written at the end of, at the end of the journey of the nation of Israel. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. And it's a second giving of the law, basically a reminder about the law, plus there's recorded there the journey itself. And a lot of that journey was not a pretty journey, because there was rebellion along the way. And in Deuteronomy 32:18, Moses said, "You deserted the rock who fathered you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth," which was interesting to me. I mean, God didn't physically give birth to the nation of Israel, but he did that through Abraham himself. And in the third chapter of John, Jesus is having this conversation with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus understands that he's special, Jesus is special, and Jesus said, "I tell you, you must be born again." And in verse 5 or 6, somewhere in there, Lee, you got that on the screen? Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. So it's talking about this birth, the Holy Spirit giving birth to someone spiritually. Everybody with me, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. The second thing I think we can look at as far as this tenderness, this nurturing nature expressed through God, is expressed as Him being a caregiver or protector. Isaiah 49:14-15. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will never forget." And so God says through Isaiah the prophet, can a mother forget that there's a baby nursing at her breast? Can she actually do that? Just kind of wander off and forget that's going on? No, she's not going to do that. Will she have no compassion on this child? She's going to have compassion for this child. And the way I read this, though she may forget, if it's possible, she might forget. He says, "I will not forget you. I will have compassion for you," as a mother nursing her baby. Psalm 91, this is probably one of my more favorite psalms. Today it is, anyway. Psalm 91:1-4. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. And the last part of that fourth verse, when it speaks about finding refuge under His wings, it speaks about a mother hen, possibly, a female bird that the chicks are in danger, maybe from predators, maybe from weather, and so the chicks will run to the mother, and she'll take her wings and just spread them around the chicks to protect them. And this is God, who's referred to in this set of verses as the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord and God. Interesting that we see this nurturing part of God expressed through mothers. And then Jesus basically says the same thing in Matthew 23:37. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you together, your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Yeah, I love to see Jesus being tender here. You know, Jesus was a man's man. He really was. I mean, he drove people out of the temple. Incredible authority, incredible tenacity, passionate. Jesus was passionate. And he submitted to the Lord, submitted to God, and he walked the journey to the cross, humbly did that. But yet at the same time, he was real tender, real nurturing, real compassionate. And I'm almost certain that no other man would make the same statement as Jesus made. Of course, he's the Son of God. But I was talking to Cody about this week. He was looking for direction for worship music. And anyway, we were talking about this verse, and I said, "Cody, you're a track coach. You probably wouldn't do this. You would say, 'Track team, come here, come here. Everybody gather and take a knee, take a knee.'" And then Cody just gets real down, real quiet. "Oh, how long, oh, track team, how long? I've just wanted to wrap you up like a hen wraps her chicks up." And you're not going to get much of a response from your track team, right? Men don't say stuff like that. That's my point. And Jesus was very comfortable saying what he said. This nurturing, this tenderness that we see, I think, radiating from others. And then we see him as comforter. Isaiah 66, 12 through 13. "For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river," this is Jerusalem, "and the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." So God says, just as a mother comforts her child, O Jerusalem, I'm going to comfort you that same way. Maybe perhaps that same feeling, even though when God brings comfort, it's a lot greater comfort. It's perfect comfort. You know, Carlene mentioned this morning, had some things in her bag, and I think she had a box of Band-Aids she pulled out. You know, when a child, a little girl, a little boy hurt themselves, they're going to mom, right? They're going to run right past dad, go right to mom, because only mom knows how to fix things like that. Amen? Because they know what to say. They know how to hold them. And there's just this comfort there that the kid experiences. It just makes it better. And God says, just like that, I want to comfort you. I want to comfort you. You know, on this Mother's Day, I think about my little mama, a little 4 foot. I don't know what she was. She was a little thing. And by her own admission, she shrunk through the years. So she started out at 4'10 and may ended up at 4'7. I'm not sure. But you know, I just remember how my mom loved to just love on us and nurture us. She loved to cook. I think moms from her generation enjoyed that, enjoying the families coming together and let's all get together, right, Joyce? Let's all get together. Just love that. And it's interesting that I see part of that same thing expressed in the life of Jesus himself. Jesus cooked. Did you know that? He cooked, and he loved to feed people. He loved to feed people. He fed 5,000 at one time. You guys know that. And God bless the little mama that packed her boy a lunch of 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread so 5,000 would have something to eat because she loved her son, didn't want him to be hungry. He fed 4,000 another time. And this is kind of an obscure story in Scripture. You may or may not be familiar with it, but there was a father whose child had died, his daughter had died, and Jesus went to the house to resurrect his daughter. And so he gets to the house, and people are weeping, they're mourning. And Jesus says, don't do that because she's only asleep. Well, they started laughing at him and mocking him. Well, Jesus goes, and he raises her from the dead. And what's the first thing he told them to do for this little girl? You remember? Give her something to eat. Isn't that practical? I mean, she's been sick, and she was dead. I mean, I don't know what all that entails, but that's a big deal. And he just wanted her to be well, wanted her to be healthy. When after Jesus' resurrection, Simon Peter and I think 6 other disciples go fishing, and so they fished all night, caught nothing. And then Jesus appears on the seashore, and he yells out, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat," and they do it. Well, they have this humongous catch, and then Peter jumps in the sea, and he swims to the shore, and Jesus is cooking them breakfast. Isn't that just kind of weird? Odd? And as he's doing that, I can't get into the mind of the Lord, but it's almost like these guys are hungry. They're hungry. They fished all night. I don't know when the last time they ate. Well, he probably knew that because he's God. But he just wanted to feed them. Interesting. Interesting. All right, I said all that to say this. Back to the beginning of the sermon. We're all created in his image, right? Okay, and we see, and we're different, so we see an expression of God's nature through man, and we see an expression of God's nature through woman. And moms and women in general, I want to encourage you this morning to let that nature shine brightly through you. You know, there's no way that a man's going to know that side of the nature of God unless it's revealed through women. Because we're looking at things from a different perspective. And I know this is Mother's Day, and we're talking about motherhood, but I believe that this mothering instinct, I believe that it's in all women. You know, our daughter, I asked her permission to say this, she doesn't have any children, but I've watched her help her best friend raise her 3 kids. I've watched her express love to a countless number of school kids and just the way she interacts with them. We've got good friends in Midland, Texas, Philip and Cindy Reed. We love them to death. They're about our age, and they don't have any children unless something really miraculous happens. That's probably not going to change anytime soon. But I watched Cindy, how she just mothers. I don't know how to explain that, but she just does what a mother does as she interacts with people. And so I think maybe this word's for moms, but it's also this word's for moms, but also for all women, that you are special. That you are special. And we need to see the glory of God revealed through you. You know, when we give our hearts to Jesus, that glory, that nature just erupts. And I believe we have a culture that needs to see that as well. And God has trusted you enough to give you his nature, to give you his image, so you can display that to the world. Isn't that awesome? There may be somebody in here that may be struggling with low self-esteem. And man, if that's the case, I just want to let you know that you're significant, that you have a purpose, And that purpose is for the glory of God, the nature of God to be revealed through you. So you have a reason to get out of bed every morning. And women, as I think through this, moms in particular, as I think through this, I think the world needs to see what unconditional love looks like. You know, if you have a prodigal son or a daughter, more times than not, this isn't a one-size-fits-all statement, but I believe more times than not, we see the judgment side of God through the man. You know, I think us men, sometimes we give up on our children way too soon, way too early, and we see the unconditional love, the grace side of God through women. And sometimes they take it so far that it's detrimental to that child. They enable that child. But thank you, ladies, for revealing that to us. Go ahead and have the praise team come up, please. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for creating us in your image. Lord, no other part of creation can make that claim. Lord, we're the crown jewel of your creation. And Lord, I'm so grateful that you revealed your nature through man and your nature through woman so we would know you more, so we would know you more deeply, so you would know you better, so that the world would know that you are God. So Father, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And Lord, as we go out of this place, God, would you help us through the power of the Holy Spirit just radiate that image whoever we come in contact with. Oh God, use us for your glory. And Lord, I pray for the moms in this room as they go out today and celebrate with their families. God, I just pray that this is a great day for them. For the moms worshiping online with us, I pray that this is a great day for them. Oh Lord, give us mercy. Give us grace. Give us love. Give us peace. Teach us how to love you better so we can love others better. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand and worship the Lord together.
Yeah.
church. Amen. Hey, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Can we do that? I want to remind you after the service, if you're a visitor, if you want to visit with me, I'll be by the main entrance. We'll also have a couple of people here to pray with you if you need prayer. Have a great day. Have a good day and enjoy your family. God bless.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.